The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. You can hear the program each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and WFIL.com.
AM 560 WFIL.com and on the app, you're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thank you for tuning in. A lot of clouds the rest of the afternoon and evening. Still a shower or two possible in spots. Eventually down to 32. Skies clearing out and then decent amount of sunshine tomorrow and Sunday. Tomorrow's high 44, Sunday's high 45. Sixers got a win last night, 127-124 over Utah. Tyrese Maxey, a career-high 51 points. Tobias Harris with 28. Joel Embiid was out with a knee injury. Head coach Nick Nurse on the win, but also with Joel being out and some other players too, and the challenges therefore.
I don't know the exact numbers, but we had 10, 13 games without Joel, right? And we had some shaky performances. Then we kind of got in a groove and had some good ones. We got a bunch of good road wins without him, and we kind of knew like we gotta be able to survive and stuff without him. Like it's gonna come down to, and I think we're okay there, right? But it's hard when you're missing, you know, a whole multitude of other guys too. Like, you know, it's just shifting a little too far sometimes. So that's good to sneak a win. I think, listen, Melton got back on the court today. I think he'll be back fairly soon, right? I don't think Batum's is anything too, I mean, I think we should be able to filter some of these guys back in.
Sixers head coach Nick Nurse, sound courtesy of the NBA content site. Their next game is tomorrow at 6 at home against Brooklyn. And in hockey, it's NHL All-Star weekend. There's an All-Star skills competition tonight, and the All-Star game itself starts tomorrow afternoon at 3. Also, just to give you a quick update, I mentioned yesterday afternoon that we, by God's grace, hit that the goal we had for preborn, and I mentioned that the dust was settling a little bit with another call or two coming in, and so the number that came in this morning, 455, is the number of ultrasounds that folks have offered to cover over, you know, this month, and that some folks have committed to doing a monthly partnership with preborn. So we are very grateful to God for moving in that way, and it's just one way to be pro-life, but there are many other ways, and we hope that all of us are living that way in our day-to-day lives. So glory to God for that. Thanks to those who prayed, those who helped out. And my understanding, I'll just throw this out there too, because life being what it is, if you had meant to give, you still wanted to, I believe you can still call the number 833-850-BABY and just tell them you're with the WFIL audience and they can still take that. But at some point that's I think becomes more of a challenge to do, or maybe less connected or whatever, but you still just, we were going through Wednesday at midnight. So, you know, feel free if that's you and you're like, oh, I wanted to do that. It's still worth doing. It's not like, oh, they hit the goal, they don't need me anymore. You know, anybody could still help. 833-850-BABY is the number for that. It's off our website, so there's no banner you can click through, but you could call the number if you'd like, 833-850-BABY. Today's a very special day on the program. We are going to have Gloria Gaynor on the program, the one and only, certainly known for her worldwide smash, I Will Survive. You know that song, right? You know, like this one. Go ahead and sing it. Go ahead. All right, make the moves, dance around, fingers in the air, all that stuff. She has a documentary that's going to be in theaters for one day only on the 13th of February, which is a Tuesday. It's a week from Tuesday, and it's a really neat documentary, and it covers a lot of ground. It covers her early years before that song came out. And then it also had to do with certainly that song coming out. But then it goes on, talks about the highs and lows in her life, both personally, her father left when she, I believe when she was, you know, just she was, her mom was pregnant with her. So I'm trying to spit out. And her sister also was murdered later in life. And there are a lot of other challenges. And then professionally, a lot of challenges too. Then there were some really high moments. So it covers a lot of those things, interspersed with a lot of old video, vintage video. In fact, one of the cool parts of the, as I was watching through, it's just brief, but there was a time that Gloria Gaynor was on American Bandstand with Dick Clark. And Dick Clark used to work here as a DJ many years ago. So there was that touch point, and there were some other ones as well. And then what's kind of cool too is that Gloria has an album out called Testimony, and she became a believer, and she was part of the storyline of the documentary has to do with the challenge of going from what everybody knows her as for that song, I Will Survive, and Never Can Say Goodbye, and a number of other songs that she was known for, into what she would call gospel music, really. And the responses she would get from the you know, radio stations, oh, that's not really our thing. Thanks for contacting us, but we don't see it's a fit. And wanting to still use her gifts and then find doors being closed. Of course, the world's changed some now, where you've got Spotify going, you have other platforms where you can get your music out other ways, but radio is still very key in that process. And anyhow, part of the documentary is about that. And it's just a really well put together documentary. So we're going to talk with Gloria both about the documentary itself, I Will Survive, but also about that album Testimony, which is featured in the documentary. And we want to play at least one song from that album. It won a Grammy a few years ago. A fun tidbit that's also in the documentary is it was 40 years between she won a Grammy Award for I Will Survive, the 1979, I think it was. And then 2019, 40 years later, she gets another Grammy for her Testimony album. It's really quite a story. So we're looking forward to having Gloria Gaynor join us on the program for the bulk of the hour. Also looking forward to our You Know What. It's Friday. So now that's punny, our fun pun segment to cap things off. We'll get it all going here and continue things in just a moment. Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL.
Live and local. It's the Tim DeMoss Show, weekday afternoons 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com. Our podcast continues.
I never can say goodbye.
AM 560 WFIL. It's the Tim DeMoss Show. Very glad to bring on board Gloria Gaynor on the program. How are you today?
I am great, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. You know, I just came across the documentary I Will Survive and became aware of your Testimony album as well. And wow, where to begin? Because they obviously overlap in so many ways. Share, share a little bit, if you would, about, because they took so much, a number of years really to put together and the challenges.
Yeah.
Can we start with the documentary, because that's going to be in theaters? Share about the putting of that together, and a lot went into that.
Well, yeah, a lot went into it because our producer went with us to a couple of different countries. She went with us to different engagements around this country. She sought out videos and things from different countries and different states within the United States of performances that I did at different events, and then talked to me and followed me. I had surgery during one of them. She followed me, came to the hospital and took video of me there, and just so much of my life that she was able to put into the documentary. And of course, that spans quite a few years. And plus, she has some personal issues that had her take time off here and there. So that's why it took so long for it to be done. But it does encompass quite a bit of my life.
Yeah. Was it something you knew you wanted to do? I always find it interesting when someone puts a documentary together that has, because you have a lot of vintage photos and film in it and all that, you wonder at what point, okay, now we are doing a documentary, we need to make sure we keep filming and have content for the current day. But then you have stuff that you would have taken back in the day.
Right, exactly. You know, I have this philosophy that if, you know, with I Will Survive, I'm telling people, of course, they will survive. help people to understand that they can and will survive whatever difficulties they might be going through in life. But I often say that if you want to tell somebody about flowers that you've grown or fruits that you've grown, people are interested in the flowers and they're interested in the fruit, but they're not interested in your seeds. So that means that you have to show them the growth that has come out of whatever it is you've planted. And so that was the thinking behind doing the documentary. Let them see the seeds and see what grew out of the seeds. And so that's why we went over such a long period of time of my life, and to show them, you know, where I stand now, where I am today, that I have not only survived, but I have and am thriving.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Folks, tuning in, we're chatting with Gloria Gaynor, of course, known, as you mentioned, for I Will Survive, and that's the name of the documentary coming out, and also the album Testimony. I'd love to talk with you about that, too. I think it reminds me, at one point in the documentary, you say something about growth shows that you're alive, shows that there's life there.
Right, exactly.
And near the end, I think, of the documentary, you also similarly talk about, you know, God not being through with you yet, and there's more work to be done, and you don't want to just sit around and rest. There's still lots to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I always say easy is boring.
Yeah. My father passed away at 95 last year, and he said that he said the Lord used him more this, like, the second half of his life than the first half.
And, well, I think that it's like the first half of your life, if you live to be that old, then the first half of your life is like you're in school, and now you come out and you go into practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you use what you've learned.
We have a pastor on our air at 5:30 every day. His name's Dr. Michael Youssef, and he's in his mid-70s. And he says when he hears
that name.
Do you? Yeah. It's a program called Leading the Way. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. And, and he said on the air, he comes on every once in a while, and he said, I have fellow pastors who talk about retiring, and that's okay. But he says, I can't think of a better thing to do than to share the gospel with other people. And how many rounds of golf can I shoot anyway? So, but just that idea that as you get older, there's still a very purposeful reason to get up in the morning and get going and about the work that God has for you.
So, that's right.
Yeah. So I just want a quick comment on the documentary. This I took actually watched and I wrote four pages of notes. It just things that were interesting to me right out of the shoot at the beginning. You're up front with the crowd. I Will Survive, and then there's a stark cut to like the modern day, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're in the parking lot and the chickens are walking around, and I think that's when you're about to work on the album. And I thought that was such a great juxtaposition of then and not now, but kind of the idea of you're leaving one genre of music, as comes up in the documentary, and thinking about gospel music.
Right. So
were you involved much in the, you know, those putting together scenes process, or what goes here or there, or rather just be the material and let those putting it together kind of assemble it?
Well, I didn't have a lot to do with the assembling of what went where and what came after what.
Yeah.
I did have a lot to do with what I wanted to go in to the film and what I did not want to go in. They gave me a lot of creative leeway with that.
Yeah.
That I was able to say, I don't think that should go in yet. But you got to put that in, you know, that kind of thing.
There was a lot of your life. Obviously, it's a documentary, but it's not just about the song. It's obviously everything tied to the song. And you share some very personal things, very hard things, and also some very high moments and good moments. But when it's all said and done, I mean, you look back at this now that it's about to be released so folks can see it. This must be very satisfying for you to have such a project put together and ready to not only let the song that, and it's obviously your music is much more than just I Will Survive, but that's inspired a lot of people. But now the video version, if you will, a longer form, much even fuller, complete story about here's what the, in fact, I'm guessing that song's meant different things to you at different times in your life.
Exactly. It definitely has. I mean, I've used the song myself. It's become my mantra for whatever I've been going through ever since I recorded. So even when I recorded the song, it became my mantra because I was standing there recording the song in a back brace from having had surgery on my spine.
Yeah.
So, you know, it immediately became my mantra. And because I was relating to the song, something that had nothing to do with the lyrics as you hear them, it's about unrequited love. but I was able to relate those lyrics to what I was going through, and I was convinced that anyone who heard the song would do the same thing, no matter what it was they were going through that they felt was insurmountable, and yet hoped they would survive.
Yeah. Yeah, folks tuning in, we have the privilege of chatting with Gloria Gaynor on the Tim DeMoss Show today on WFIL in Philadelphia. When I had reached out to your folks about maybe having you on the program, it had dawned on me that there's a lot of overlap here. First of all, in the I Will Survive documentary, there is a brief clip of Dick Clark interviewing you. Is that right?
Yeah.
Was that American Bandstand, or do you remember where that would have been?
That was definitely American Bandstand, yeah. I was on there a couple of times.
So he was a DJ here back in the 50s on our station. And then, of course, American Bandstand was part of WFIL TV. You know, we had a TV station for a number of years. And then over the years, the format changed. So it was like big, you know, it was the Boss Jocks hits of the day. But then it turned into, there was a time where it was country. I think there was a time it was disco. And it might have been, I don't know exactly when, but I was just emailing your folks and said, I think Gloria's music may have been on our station back at that time. I mean, your career spanned a lot of years. So,
yeah. That's great.
So there's that history. There's the local angle. But then a couple other things that were of interest in the documentary. There's a pastor, A.R. Bernard, who I think you know. He's been on our air, not currently, but he had a program on our air. And he spoke at our pastor's breakfast a few years back.
So, oh, wonderful. Yeah. He's been my pastor for 30 years.
Oh, really? Okay. And Jackie Patillo, too. There was a scene in the documentary with Jackie. I believe her husband is Leon Patillo?
Yes.
Yeah. Some great music of his.
And well, she is the one who gave me the idea of getting the collaborations on the album.
Wow.
In fact, she says it in that scene in the doc.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this. That's a great point. One of the themes that I felt came up in the I Will Survive documentary, and again, folks, tune in with chat with Gloria Gaynor, and the documentary going to be in theaters on the 13th of February, is the idea of doing a gospel record, and but people saying, well, there's some screenshots of people saying it's not our format. I don't think this will work for us. And I love what Jackie said. Jackie Patillo, as president of the GMA, she said, you have to find what you want to do and then find people who will join you. And I just thought that was a lovely thing to affirm someone of your skill level and ability to affirm, go for it. Like, you know, don't worry about the people who aren't interested or don't see it or whatever.
Right. Yeah. She was great moral support and helped me see things a little bit more clearly as to how I would go about accomplishing this goal.
Yeah. Yeah, Gloria Gaynor with us on the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL in Philadelphia. We have a quick break we're going to take and then keep things rolling from here. She has a new documentary coming out on the 13th called I Will Survive. And in fact, just for fun, I teased it at the beginning. I played a little bit of it. I'll play the whole song coming out of this, and then we're going to talk more about that, but also talk about her album, Testimony, which won a Grammy a few years back. And I want to play a song from that, too. Still plenty of time on our conversation coming up with Gloria Gaynor on the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL.
Have a guest you'd like to hear on the Tim DeMoss Show on AM 560 WFIL? Email timmyd@wfil.com. Just turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with the fire? You think I'd crumble? You think I'd lay down and die on the line? AM 560
WFIL.com on the app. Gloria Gaynor, her classic, I Will Survive. We were talking before the break about the documentary, I Will Survive, subtitled A Journey of Faith, Hope, and a Magnificent Second Act. That's going to be out on the 13th, one night only, or maybe all day. But Tuesday, the 13th of February, is the full-length documentary. And so there's a lot covered in that documentary, including her album. Let me ask you about the album Testimony, because obviously that's a huge part of I Will Survive. There's a lot of set, and it's kind of neat because you show recording sessions and the collaborations that you're referring to. When you went to work on the album, and that took 5 years, maybe 4 years to put together. I forget.
Yeah.
Something like that.
About five. Yeah.
So that also had its, you know, its challenges to finally get done. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like that actually, the album is that much better because of the struggles and challenges you had, that it's a really strong album because the songs mean that much more? Because you didn't just knock it out in a month or two or three, but it actually is grittier and fuller and richer because of the struggle. Just like,
And this all, you know, made it easier for us to come up with the songs and to determine what kind of subject matter we wanted in the songs. Certainly made me sing them with a lot more heart because I was actually living what I was singing.
Yeah.
There's just that much more in the songs, performance-wise, I was kind of living it while I was performing it, which I think came through even more true.
Yeah.
On the recording.
Did you know you had that album in you the way it turned out?
Did you?
It's one thing to say, or I don't know where you were. What before you started working on it, what your thoughts mm-hmm. about it were compared to how it finished? Did you know? Because you collaborated a lot of people, you respected, they mm-hmm. respected you a lot. Mm-hmm. So that process of, I don't know if that's the word is surprised or something, but did it come out the way you thought it was gonna, or you're like, wow, this is even better than I thought it was gonna be?
I know exactly what you mean. I'm a cook.
<You know>? Right.
And so sometimes you start out with a few ingredients and then you go, let's add this. I wonder what that's going to do for it. Let's add some of that. That would probably be going good in there. You know, that's the kind of thing. That's kind of the way it went.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the way it went. Like you coming up with a recipe and hoping against hope that you come out with a great product in the end. And with all of, you know, and I always say, when you're doing a recipe, if you make sure that each ingredient is a quality ingredient, you got to come out with a quality product in the end. So
yes,
that's what.
Well, and those collaborations, Bart Millard with Mercy Me and Yolanda Adams and Mike Ferris, and folks may know him from Screamin' Cheetah Willies back in the day, and just so many great. I mean, I as I listen through the album, it goes. And actually, a side question is, people listen to music very differently now. They don't have to listen to an album in a particular order. But do you know if there was a lot of intent between why Amazing Grace is first, why Day One was last, and everything in between, or from a flow standpoint, or?
Yeah, definitely from a flow standpoint, we were trying to take a person on a journey.
Yeah.
Through the album, you know, and come out on top.
Yes. Each of the songs, I'd written some notes down, and they're all wonderful. I do love the close, Day One. All my hope should be found mm-hmm. in, I think part of the lyric, all my hope should be found in you, not the socials or the daily news. They don't have the truth I need. Only you can set me free. And you've lived all that. Yeah. So it obviously means a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I can testify to the truth of every one of those lyrics.
How much fun was this, too? Because a number of times I'm at my desk, I'm listening, and then the horns kick in or something, a little attitude in one of the songs kicks in. You're like, okay, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, the creative process on this was just a dream. It really was. And because of the people that we chose and the people who accepted to be a part of it, it was, it was just orchestrated by God, I believe.
Yeah. You know, Day One, back to that song, was there a clear Day One for you to pinpoint a specific day that you really knew, like, I understand?
There have been several Day Ones.
Okay.
My life, and I think there's several Day Ones in everybody's life, especially people who live in the United States and have lived in the United States for the past, say, 12 years. There's so much craziness going on, you know.
Yeah.
We all want to go back to Day One.
Gloria, you know, I think if folks, again, folks tuning in and chat with Gloria Gaynor, of course, folks know from the song I Will Survive, many other songs too, and the documentary I Will Survive, as well as talking about your album Testimony. One of the neat moments in the documentary also talks about the fact that when you've won a Grammy, folks can look that up for the Testimony album, 40 years between Grammys from I Will Survive, which has its own place in the history books now in terms of the Library of Congress, is it, that it made it into?
Yes.
Right, part of the culture officially. Anyway, So when you see those, it's quite an accomplishment on both ends, right? Because I Will Survive, I think, was the first song to get a Grammy ever, a disco song to ever get a Grammy?
First and only.
Wow. That's amazing. And then to have one for the album Testimony, quite a thing. But again, you know that it's not about that, but it still must feel really good too.
Yes, it feels awesome. It feels great because, like I often say, this is their peers who know what goes into the creation of a song, you know, the music and the lyrics and the performance, not only your performance, but performance by each individual musician. And I think one of the factors that made this album so great is that the musicians, one of the things that is missing from the music today is the spontaneous creativity that can only come from live musicians working together and in the same room and inspiring one another.
Yeah. There was a point in the documentary, I wrote this as a question mark, it's something about that was the first time you had done that and it was a great experience. Did you mean like,
ever?
Wow.
Because from the time I first started recording, musicians were, you have the rhythm section record first. They're the only ones in the studio, the rhythm section.
Yeah.
And then they're gone in another day. Then the what they call the sweetening, the horns come in and they do their thing. And then the producer takes it and he mixes it and all of that. So even though the rhythm section are there to playing together, inspiring one another, the strings are there playing together and inspiring one another, you don't get all of the musicians in the studio at one time like it was on this album.
Yeah. It makes sense logistically because I think there's one part where Jason Crabb messes up a couple times and he probably feels like he's inconveniencing everybody. Yeah, sorry guys, all right, let's go. No problem, let's do it again. So logistically, if you can just do your part and then send it in. But I always wondered as a performer, I can play piano, but I've never performed with a band, that you can't get that though unless you're all together capturing it. So it takes more time, but it's worth it in the end, I guess.
It's absolutely worth it in the end. And I feel so bad for the young people who are listening to music today. They don't ever hear that unless they go to a concert. Then you get that when you go to a concert. But when you hear the music on the radio, you don't get that. You have to go to a concert to get that.
Gloria, I don't want to keep you too long. You're welcome to stop in anytime. You're not that far away. So if you ever want to stop in, I do want to ask you one or two other quick questions. One is, in your documentary, I Will Survive, there's a lot of footage from you all over the world. And we talk about on the show, the show is based on John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so whenever we can bring a global perspective to the program, I like to do that. So when someone has traveled like you have, I was just curious what you have seen as you have gone, to all the different places you've been, including Spain. And I think you speak Spanish, which is pretty cool too, but also, to Portugal and to Switzerland and everywhere. What you see in terms of people, everyday people, but also their hunger perhaps for God and for looking for something, higher than just the everyday.
I see it in Spain. People, the hunger for God. I see churches, and I'm not sure there's churches everywhere. I don't get to go to them, and so or to know the people in these different countries well enough to know what their religious outlook is.
Yeah,
but. And see from the interaction between the people, I think more than a spiritual connection, there is a connection that kind of live and let live.
Okay.
Kind of thing, respect for one another as human beings, and you do your thing and I'll do mine. And if we do the same thing at some point, then that's good. And if we don't, that's fine. But I don't see the kind of camaraderie that I see among Christians or people of any faith in other countries the way that I see it here in the United States.
Interesting. That's interesting. Your manager, Stephanie, right? She's in your documentary, I Will Survive, quite a bit. And it's pretty clear she's a very, very strong and helpful partner in all the work that you're doing. I just wonder if you could share a little bit about about her and the support she's been. How long has she worked with you? It seems like a couple decades. It's been a lot of years.
Yes, it's been a lot of years. I met Stephanie in the early 90s. She was working for my booking agency. And a couple of days after working with her, I bought her a sign that said, "Do you want to talk to the man in charge or the lady who knows what's going on?" And that's been Stephanie. That's who she is. I mean, she's one of these kind of take charge kind of people. And I had first, when I broke up with my ex-husband, who was also my manager, I first contacted Stephanie to be a personal assistant as I tried to determine how I should continue navigating my way through my music career.
Yeah.
And I, you know, she was helping with different things. But after a while, I began to notice that she was doing a lot of things for me that my ex-manager had done and, in fact, was managing my career. So I decided to make her my manager. She's one of those people that if she sees something needs to be done, she just does it.
What a blessing.
And so an awesome blessing. And I just know that she's definitely a divine appointment. God placed her in my life because I was kind of wandering around in the wilderness to find my way through.
Yeah.
And placed her in my life. She's been an awesome help. She's been a sister from another mister, a dear, dear friend, and invaluable in the progression of my career, both performing and recording.
What a blessing. By the way, Gloria, and I Will Survive, I have to ask you this, just because there's so many eras of footage used, the different styles and outfits from the different eras, important, I mean, because it seems like it's not like you embrace that, you like it, but it doesn't seem like that has to be you. Like you seem to know you're much more than the clothes, but still, that's a pretty fun aspect. And how important, I guess, is fashion to you and all that?
I've been a, what they call now fashionista. I love clothing. I used to sew. In fact, I used to make all of my clothes earlier.
Wow.
Clothes that you see, anything that I had on stage before 1980, I probably made.
Wow.
And even a few things after that, I made because my mother was a seamstress and I learned to sew from her. I didn't sew much before she passed away, but after she passed away, I started doing a lot of sewing and making my own clothes and stuff. And so a lot of the stuff, as I said, I made myself.
That's really interesting.
And I went to beauty culture school, so I did my own hair and my own makeup and made my own clothes. And so
that's amazing.
That's a lot of what it seems.
By the way, your mom, you have a very touching scene, and you talk about your mom singing for your mom. Was she a professional singer or just really gifted?
No, my father was a professional singer, but my mother just sang around the house.
Okay.
She just happened to have a beautiful voice. And their friends used to fight over who gave me my voice. I'm like, how about both of them?
That's right. Gloria, I want to wrap up. If you can just share the backstory to Singing Over Me, and I'd like to, I'll wrap that up, our chat up by playing that.
Okay. Chris Stevens, the producer, came up with the title of the song, Singing Over Me. And, you know, he told me what he wanted to write about. And I was like, I was really concerned because I didn't want to not do what he wanted. But I wasn't sure I wanted to sing about that because God singing over me is kind of a little strange. And then I went and looked it up and I found out this was scriptural. So then I was very pleased to write about it. Very, very pleased to write about it. So I love that song because it is scriptural and because, you know, just the idea of I'm going through trouble, but don't worry about it. God is singing over you. And if he's singing, it's fine. It's going to be fine.
That's right. That's Zephaniah 3:17. It's a great verse. That's right. That's great.
Yes.
Is there anything folks can pray for you about, by the way, Gloria? Your health is on the rebound from the documentary and from the film.
Mm-hmm.
But just in general, anything you can think of?
Just in general, pray for me to stay on God's path and stay in his will and be consistently hearing from him.
Amen. That's great. Congratulations on I Will Survive being released and also again on the Testimony album. It's wonderful. I read somewhere you're working on another album and maybe that'll be happening or
yes.
Okay.
So much. Yep. I'm definitely going to be putting out an EP soon. And
Good deal. Gloria, thank you so much. Real treat to talk with you.
My pleasure. My great pleasure. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The one and only Gloria Gaynor, her documentary, I Will Survive, A Journey of Faith, Hope, and a Magnificent Second Act in theaters one day only, Tuesday the 13th of February. And in our podcast, we'll post more info on that. Also, we talked about her album Testimony, which won a Grammy a few years back, and the song I referenced there that I want to conclude our conversation with her right now, our segment together, is called Singing Over Me. And so let's do that right now. This is Gloria Gaynor with Jason Crabb, who's a singer and musician known for his work with the Crabb Family and other places as well. We have our pun segment coming up as well on the back end of our show. Looking forward to a special segment there too. Gloria Gaynor, Jason Crabb, Tim DeMoss Show, WFIL. AM560, WFIL.com on the app. Listen to the Tim DeMoss Show. Gloria Gaynor and Jason Crabb from Gloria's Testimony CD that's Singing Over Me. Quick break. Now that's punny. Coming up in just a moment. Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL.
It's the Tim DeMoss Show podcast, available at WFIL.com. Thanks for listening.
It's the Tim DeMoss Show. Want to thank Gloria Gaynor for joining us, talking about I Will Survive, A Journey of Faith, Hope, and a Magnificent Second Act. That's her forthcoming documentary and also her album Testimony, 452, Tim DeMoss Show. And time for now, that's punny.
All right.
Doug, you ready?
I'm always ready.
I see the excitement in your eyes. Doug, I got a job. I don't know if I told you about this, but I got a job as an anesthesiologist about a month ago.
Oh, brother.
It was really exciting at first, but it started to wear off. I did take a job after that at our local helium factory.
Helium factory?
Helium, but
it's all gas.
Well, that's another topic. I quit after one day, though, because I could not take my supervisor talking to me in that tone of voice. Thank you. Doug, did you hear about the two birds sitting on a perch?
Mm-mm.
One bird says to the other, "You smell fish."
Pardon me if I laugh. That's a pippin.
Right over my head.
Yeah, exactly. Doug, here's some advice. The next time you shower, you do shower, right?
Every week.
Okay. Next time, listen carefully when you squeeze water out of the towel.
Okay.
It has a nice ring to it. Thank you. Doug, I went shopping with Tina last weekend at a flea market.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really good at negotiating. But I just couldn't bring myself to haggle. I hate it. I ended up paying the price.
What?
Doug, my counselor says I'm overly preoccupied with vengeance. We'll see about that.
Uh-huh.
Doug, Groundhog Day was one of my favorite Bill Murray movies.
Yes, and that happened to be today.
I can watch it over and over and over and over. And Doug, what do you call a person who cleans out a vacuum?
The guy that used it last?
A vacuum cleaner. See, it's true.
It is.
That look of, hey, you know what? You're right. Came across your face.
Very good.
Doug, I asked my German friend the other day to guess a number between 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
He refused.
Why?
Think about it.
To guess a number between 8 and 10 and he... my goodness.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm a little slow today.
Little today. My friend joined a support group for wives who talk a lot. It's called On and On and On. Notice I said a friend.
Yeah. Hi, Tina.
No. Shh. Strike that from the record. Tina and I actually are planning to take a flight to Florida to visit our kids.
Oh, really?
Theodora wants us... I mean, she's 13, so she's got crazy ideas. She wants us to travel disguised as luggage.
Get on for free?
Well, I told her, let's not get carried away. And Doug, in the spirit of, you know, we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. you said, you know, there are all these puns you've done for years. I started looking back at a few of them. I thought it might be kind of fun. to just get kind of greatest hits, you know?
You mean like encores?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like for example.
Reruns.
What do you... Now, reruns sounds like leftovers mm-hmm. or like negative. This is a good thing. What do you call Batman after he's been in a fight with the Joker?
I don't know. What?
Bruised Wayne.
Bruised Wayne.
Yes. You like that one, don't you?
She does.
Doug, I had my performance review this week with Lorenzo, our GM.
Mm-hmm.
And he said I needed to work on being less defensive when I am criticized. I'm like, I'm not defensive. I mean, really?
Kidding me?
I can't believe that.
Come on.
Cycling back to Tina for a second, earlier in our marriage, I was a sanitation worker, and she worked at Aldi. My job was gross, but hers was grosser. Because she was at Aldi.
I got
you
it.
You got that, Doug?
I got
Sometimes
it.
I feel like I have to explain them.
Not always.
I used to drive for Lyft. You know that, right?
Yes.
I did. I
loved
it.
I thought it was Uber. But
both. At a time, there was a time I did both. Mm-hmm. I did like it a lot, but then eventually I quit. I was just tired of people talking behind my back. If I'm going to be honest. And that'll about do it, Doug. What do you think?
Come on. One more for the road.
One more for the road. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I used it one already. Didn't use that. Is this. Oh, here we go. My daughter was reading a book the other day, and every now she's smart, but every now and then she'd be like, I think I hadn't heard this one. So she said, what does deja vu mean? And I said, I feel like I've been, you've asked me this before. And that'll do it for Now That's Punny.
Alrighty.
And it's Doug's official final last Now That's Punny.
Yeah, I'm out of here. See you later.
What are you doing with yourself? Are you still going to be selfish and retire?
Yes.
That's not really kind of you. What am I going to do?
It's something else.
I was thinking about, no, I can't end the puns, but I was thinking, it's like the Three Stooges, right? You always have Mo and Larry.
Right.
And then there's usually Curly. So I guess you're Curly.
Well, there's always Shemp.
Well, he was like, wasn't Shemp the fourth? I mean, kind of, he was there a lot. But and then there's Curly Joe.
He's a Howard.
And there are others. There are a couple others. Got less screen time.
Curly Joe, yeah, he's not, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he would fill the space.
Right.
For the third. So I'm feeling like, now I have to look around. Who's gonna be, because you'll be here once in a while dropping in for things, but you're basically, you know, not going to be here.
I could guest pun.
So, well, that's what I mean. So you'll... When people tune in, they don't know if it's going to be Curly or Shemp or Curly Joe. I don't even know. Do you see what the predicament is? Are you sure you want to really retire?
I'm out of here.
All right. What are you going to do with yourself?
I'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to your next pun appearance as a guest.
Although, if Lorenzo's listening, I have a plan.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Have a million-dollar weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. Feel free to tune in to the full show each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.